谈了个女人，We had a wonderful time yesterday at the wedding, and the Lord was good to us. I thank all of you for coming. It was such a wonderful outpouring of your love for Sister Angela and her husband, and just pray that the Lord would really be with us, with them on their honeymoon and their marriage, because it's the way He has it. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about the token. And we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, and this will kind of be the icing on the cake, because the Lord has given us a lot of quotes and scriptures this morning to kind of solidify our position as heads of the house in applying the token for our family. And so let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence among us this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us your word, which is your shout. We're thankful to see John 14:12 having taken place in the tabernacle last week, where a man was raised from the dead. And Lord, we're thankful because your presence is still here. We're thankful for your answering of our prayers. And we're asking, Father, that you would help us to be ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning will be number 36 in our series, and we have entitled it, Full Obedience to the Word of God Entitles You. Or, to put it short, God's Entitlement Program. You know, the government has theirs, they throw money after it. Well, God's Entitlement Program is His Spirit. It's His life. He throws Himself into His Entitlement Program. From the token, 142, Brother Brown says, the token is a sign that the purchase has been made and been accepted. Now, you can't get the token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way that you're going to pay the price is just pay it. That's right. What? Believe it and accept it. Full obedience to the Word of God will entitle you to the token. Full obedience. Not to a part of it, as far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the Word, which is Christ, brings you into Christ. Now, what if you was all of it, all in, but your feet hanging out? What if you was all in but your hands hanging out? That's why when we baptize people, we make sure that they're fully immersed. I don't want even their hair on top. I don't want their feet to come up. You know, we had a sister one time. She was a little bit on the plump side. And she had come to service about a month or so, and she wanted to be baptized. And so we baptized her. And we put her under, and her feet came up. So then put her feet down, and her hair came up. Her head came up. We just couldn't get her underneath. And, you know, she didn't last too long, because she wasn't fully dead. You got to fully die, brother and sister. You got to be fully baptized. You know, when you're baptized, you're fully, you show that you have been fully dead to self. Then, if you've been fully died to self, when you come up, you come in fullness, you come in newness of life. Now, as Brother Brown said, what if your feet was hanging out, or what if your hands were hanging out? See, the heart's in the world yet, see? But we don't do that. Full, complete obedience puts you and the Word as one. You believe it every bit and all of it in you, and you watch it working through you. You don't go about with a bunch of carrying on, you see. You're a Christian. No matter what anybody says, they'll never touch you. You're in Christ. You're safe as you can be. When death knocks at the door, it has no hold. See? Not at all. Why? It's just stepping out of here and into here. Age means nothing. It means not a thing. You have done past from age. You're in eternity because you're in Him. He's eternal. It don't mean a thing whether you're young, old, middle-aged, or whatever you are, pretty, ugly, short, fat, what, don't matter a thing. It doesn't. You don't go around in all these other things. You done passed from that. You're dead. Your life is hid in God through Christ. You're sealed in there by the Holy Ghost, walking in Christ, and the only object that you see is Christ. That's all. That's all you want to see. Oh my, no wonder we used to sing that song, fill my way every day with love as I walk in the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while and with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Now again, from the token that he preached in a few months later in February 8th of 64, he said, full obedience to the Word of God brings God, the Word, eternal in you. And that is the token. When the Word is in you, it's Christ in you. Now notice, then when we pray, we have the token. And when we pray, we have the token, and we present our token with our prayer. Now, if you're sick, if you're a sinner, if you're in need, when you have the token, you have a right. And if I had the token to a bus line in my hand, they can't keep me off that bus. They've accepted my money, and I have the token. And in this case, I could not pay my price, but you could not pay it, but he has already paid it for us and given us a token. Amen. I have a right to divine healing. Jesus Christ died that I could have divine healing. I have a right to claim every promise in that book. When will you get it? When you have the token. And can present the token with your prayers. If you haven't got it, the sign of the full obedience, the fare has been paid. And the manifestation of the sons of God will be no different than the manifestation of the Son of God. And how did Jesus manifest his sonship? By his obedience. Now listen, we're talking about having the token. What is it? It's sonship. It's his life in you. You see? Hebrews 5:8 tells us, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And again, we're taught in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now notice that word chastening. It comes from the Greek word paid. I like this word. Break it down. Paid e you. Paid e what you owe. Paid e o. Okay. Which actually means to train up a child or educate the child, and by implication to discipline the child as part of his training. In other words, to chasten or instruct, learn, or teach. This shows that if you're truly a son, God will have an active participation in your raising up, training you and equipping you for your role in the family, etc. And that is what applying the token is all about. We see this also in Psalm 1 and verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the word knoweth was translated from the Hebrew word yada, which means to ascertain by seeing, to including observation, care, and recognition and instruction, and designated punishment when needed. In other words, as you're training your children, you're potty training them, or you're training your children, and you say, "Now, don't touch that thing," and if they go and touch it, you give them a little smack on the hand. That's your discipline. You see, that's part of the training, because you get a negative stimulus if you do what's wrong. You get a positive stimulus if you do what's right. All right? So the positive stimulus, you hug, you embrace, you say, "I love you, you're really doing well, you're becoming a big boy," or whatever. You know, God gives us both positive and negative stimulus in the way that we live, in the way he trains us. So in essence, we can shorten that explanation by saying that God has an active participation in the life of each son. And the last part of Psalm 106 adds, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And the Hebrew word for perish is the word abad, and it means properly to wander away, i.e. to lose oneself, by implication to perish, causative to be destroyed, no way to escape, to fail, it means to fail, to lose oneself, to be undone, utterly, to be void of, and have no way to flee. In other words, they're left to themselves, and they are not instructed, they are not disciplined. And remember, the word discipline is never punishment for punishment's sake, but rather discipline has to do with bringing correction so as to become right. It is a vital part of training, and its purpose is to produce an action in accordance with the rules. It is an activity, an exercise, or regimen that is used to develop and to improve skills or knowledge, i.e. its training. So we see that God actively participates in the lives of his own children and disciplines them along the way to ensure mature sonship, while those that are not his, he leaves to themselves. Therefore, it is God working in you to will and then to do. And therefore, you cannot apply what God does not apply. God applies his token, his life in his children, and then expects us to do the same in our children. Therefore, Hebrews 12:6 tells us, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, tutoring, education, or training, by implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, and nurturing, God will then deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all sons are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our Father of flesh who corrected us and gave us reverence, and shall we not much rather be in subjection or obedience unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. In other words, sometimes in fathering the flesh, he might, out of his own anger, chastise the kids. But God doesn't do that. God says, what can my child benefit? What can I do to him to get him to listen, to get him to benefit from this? That's why I said he wouldn't put anything on us more than we could take. So the whole purpose of our being trained up by God and applying his own token into the lives of his children with an active participation is to yield the beautiful fruits of his holiness in each of his children to make us in the image of himself. And that is the way any son will manifest their sonship. It's not going out there and doing supernatural feats. That's to the Jews. The manifestation of the sons of God is when we become in full obedience to the word of God, or the word of our Father, which is God. From paragraph 145, Brother Brown says, Let me be a brother. Let me live the example what Christ said a man should be. Let me be a brother to a brother, a brother to a sister. Let me be a minister to the ministers. Let me be an example of examples. Let me show the world that this word is Christ. The only way that I can do it is come into him, because I can't do it myself. You can't do it. But let the word and you become one, and then it lives itself out. You are then a walking epistle of Jesus Christ when he's got complete control of you to make every word. If it comes this way, I want to do this way. And if you say, oh, no, I don't believe that. See, you're not in the word yet. Full. Now, the scripture tells us that we are to come to that hour when the elect will be clothed with the same doxa of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us, when we shall come to be glorified. The word is endoxazo. The word en means in. The word doxa means God's opinion, his values, his judgment. And the word zo or zoe means life. Notice the doxa of God manifested in the zoe or the life of his sanctified ones. That's what that word means. So Paul says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Again, we see in John 14:20, at that day you shall know that I, the manifested word, am in my Father, the word, and you in me, and I, the manifested word, in you. Now, and Brother Brandon said, God is Logos, the Son of God is Logos, and we are Logos. In that day when you learn that, in that day that you learn, you are only an expression of the Father because his life is living in you. Now, let's read from Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be, now this is where I want to get to, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. Now notice here, he is coming to claim them as his own. His presence will declare those that are his. In that day when I make up my jewels. Now the Lamza translation puts it, in that day when I come to assemble my people, so we see these jewels are precious people. And the NIV says, when I come to gather my possession. And the RSV says, they shall be my special possession in that day when I begin to act. But they all continue with these words, and I will spare them as a man who spares his own son who serves him. That's your token, which ought to tell us that God comes down as the Father of glory to gather his children, which are more precious to him than jewels, because he is here to save them from destruction, which is ordained to come. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. All that training and applying of the token to save us and bring us to the same opinion, values, and judgment of our Father. Now watch, Brother Brandon continues. Now watch fully. Full obedience to the word, to the whole word of God, entitles us to the token. Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayers. If you say, I pray, Lord, but I really haven't, well, there you go. You just might as well have stopped, see? Go in first and get the token, see? Because that token is what he will recognize, see? Yes, sir. When we pray, then we must present the token. Lord, I have obeyed you fully. I've repented of my sins. I feel that you have forgiven me. I've been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is upon me. Now, I have a need of a certain thing for your glory, Lord. I ask for it. It's mine now. Then there's something anchors back there. and it's yours. So then it's all over. It's all over and settled. I asked for this. I asked for it. I must have it. See, I want it for your glory. See, now listen to it. Then he just gives it to you. Then you know that it's yours. That is the way it is with our children and so forth. We apply the blood, we believe it, and that's all. Now, all right, paragraph 147, all right. What does he do then? When you can present the token with your prayer, it shows that you have fully come to the obedience to the whole word of God. When you got the token, it shows you that you have obeyed every word, then you and the word are one. You're only asking for the thing that you are. Then why, you know, if I say to this hand, obey me, and reach out for the handkerchief, it does it. See, the hand obeyed me. Why? It's part of me. See, then when you and the word becomes one, every promise, glory to God, every promise is yours. It obeys you. See, then you want to watch what you want to do. You wouldn't put your hand in the fire and say, see you do it. No. See, but if there's something in that fire I got to reach for, it'll obey me. That's right. See, you want to watch what you're doing. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is sparingly given out in things. You know what I mean? Because see, you don't want to. Well, you, but a real servant of God don't show off with it. You see, that's what's making a show. When we pray, we present the token, and it shows that we have fully obeyed. Now, here's where I want to get to. If God has given us more than 800 promises in the Word, and He has told us that we must ask if we wish to receive any of those promises, then He has also given us a way to ask. We read from the book of James that we desire, but we have not. And He said we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss, which means that we do not ask according to His will, which is His Word. So if you are desirous of any of His 800 promises that are laying in His Word, then all you have to do is go to God and give Him His own Word back to Him. We see Elijah, a man who knew that God heard his prayers, and he asked God that it might not rain, and it didn't rain. And then he asked God that it might rain again, and it did rain. In James 5:16, he tells us, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer, effectual and fervent, prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Notice, at the prayer of Elijah, a man no different from you or I, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies. But he had the token. He had the life of Christ. He had that anointing upon his prayer. And when he prayed and asked God to stop the rain, God stopped the rain. And when he asked 3.5 years later, he said, Father, now I pray that you would bring that rain. God brought the rain. Why? Because he and God were one. They had become one by that word. Now, when you know the Creator of heavens is on the scene, we know He's come down. We have pictures, everything else. It ought to cause you to pray like you have never prayed before. And we have the words of a vindicated prophet of God who said in a sermon, Presence of God Unrecognized, he said, if we could only realize that He's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in Him back to us. But we've got to recognize His presence. And now, how to recognize His presence is when the promised word for this age is made manifest, not the promised word of Moses' age or any other age, the promise of the word for this age. My suggestion to every one of you is when you begin to pray, don't ask for whatever it is that you want until you feel His presence. Then you begin to ask. Jesus taught us to pray, He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom will come as thy will be done. You said it, it's going to happen. Give us now, give us this day our daily bread. Give us the things we have need of. But you acknowledge that He is a God, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Go to Him first. You know, if you want the keys and you're 16 years old and you want the keys, you don't come up to Dad and say, Dad, I want the keys. He said, I'm sorry, son, but you're not going to drive. because you didn't come to me right. You know, when the high priest entered into the holiest of holies, he had to walk a certain way, and a bell would ring each step he took, a certain way, bell would ring, certain way, bell would ring. If he approached wrong, they said the ringing stopped, and they had a rope around his waist, and they pulled him out, a dead man. It's the way you present. I've always said this. The reason why we wrap up our presents is because we want it to, we want that present to have a certain appeal, a certain, you know, we just don't give them a brown bag and say, here, take it. That's your present. If you have that in mind, you're just, you need to go get to finished off a little bit. It's the way we approach God. Approach Him right, and when you feel His presence come in, now you begin to bring forth your petition. We also, in John 6:16-23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive it, that your joy may be full. And we heard Brother Branham speak about Elisha, and how that he asked for a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah, and God gave it to him. God gave him, Elisha, a double portion. Now you would think, well, if we were to do that in this hour, ask for a double portion of what God gave to Brother Branham. You know, people say, well, you're just Pentecostal. You know, you just want sensations. You want this and that. Listen, Elisha is the type of the bride. And Elisha asked for a double portion, and God gave him a double portion. Elijah had 14 miracles. Elisha had 28. And many of them were identical to the same miracles that Elijah had. Elijah laid on the boy, put his mouth to his mouth, his hands to his hands, breathed in, and God restored his life. Elisha did the same thing. Elijah came to the River Jordan. He took his garment, he slapped it on the River Jordan. It parted, just like when Moses, just like when Joshua. Elisha, the very first thing is he came back, after he got that coat, he went back to that same Jordan that had just parted just not so many minutes before. When Elijah hit that thing with his garment, now Elisha had that garment, and he smacked it on the ground, smacked it in the water, and the water opened up. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't ever forget that. If someone in the Bible comes to God a certain way and God meets that need, then he's obligated if you come that same way. And we've given you stories of Rahab and the Philippian jailer and the centurion, all these examples in the Bible where God gave them their entire family. And those families weren't believers. Those families were a bunch of kids out there partying, everything else, but we had a faithful Father who gave God the requirement that God asked for, and that was the blood of the Lamb. And we have more than that today because we have the life that was in that blood. That's why he said, take that with you. Take it with you. Say, Father, you have given me your Spirit. I know it. I've seen it change my life. The life that lived in Jesus Christ is living in me. And I'm taking that same life, and I'm presenting it back to you, Father. And I'm asking you for my family. I have scripture for it. I have Isaiah. I have different places. And we're going to show you a whole bunch of quotes this morning. I think when you walk out of here, and you might want to go to the website and download those, and just keep those with you, and just repeat them to yourself, put them in your Bible, because these are promises we have that our family will be with us. Now, from Elijah, Brother Ryan said, now, when they got down to the Jordan, time to cross over, he made the way. Then when he crossed over the Jordan, the stage of the Holy Ghost church, he said, now, I want to ask you something. So, what do you want? And he said, a double portion of your Spirit come upon me. And that's the way to ask for it. Don't be scared. Ask for a whole lot. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Ask a whole lot. God, just don't make me a little bit better. Make me all the way well. Don't just get me enough religion to make me miserable. Kill me out to sin that I can live in Christ. That's right. From God commissioning Moses. the prophet. Brother Brown said, when they crossed over, got over on the other side, he said, now you've asked, ask what you will, and I will give it to you. Perfect type of the church. All right? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Amen. Don't be scared to ask. Ask abundantly. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. That's right. Ask a whole lot. God will give you a whole lot. Have a lot of faith. A fellow told me the other day, he said, he was riding on an old Model T Ford, yet, and said, one day he happened to get some good faith, and God gave him a Buick. He said, and I got a Buick faith. And I'm praying for a Cadillac faith, all right? That's good. That's right. Keep on. What you believe, hold on to it. God will give it. He's got Ford faith. So just stay with the Ford then. That's all right. See? Let him get a little more faith. All right? In other words, said, look, don't just be satisfied. Like Brother Vail, years and years ago, I heard him tell the story about how he knew this. There were three boys in his family. And he said this one boy was just kind of the dullest of the three. You know, two of them had education, they had property and everything else. This boy, he said, was the dullest of the three when it came to those things, but he had faith. He heard Brother Vail preaching on faith, and he got faith, and so he believed and got himself a job. He said then within a few months, he got himself a better job. He said within 3 months, he had the best job in the family because he kept applying his faith to get better and better and better and better. Don't just get to the place and say, well, I'm satisfied now. He said, ask abundantly. That your joy might be full. Hallelujah. And what good would it be for God to give us a promise of the token if it had no power behind that promise? And what good would it be to bring children into this world only to lose them? But just think, you will have them for an eternity with you, to be with you, and to share with you an eternity of love in the presence of God, who is a God of love. Now that's a reality, and that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm living for. That's what keeps me pressing ahead and going to all these countries around the world. We have a promise that is so real that I can taste it. I can feel it. I can see it. Because God said it, it's a done deal for me. And not only will I see my offspring, but we will have joint ownership with my God and my older brother. I'm talking about the inheritance. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then the Spirit itself, God's Holy Spirit, will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And that is because Christ is our older brother and we are joint heirs with him. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of his present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The glory that shall be revealed in us. The doxa. The opinions, the values, the judgments of God. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. He waits for the doxa of God to be expressed. And the manifestation of the sons of God will be no different than the manifestation of the Son of God. And how did Jesus manifest his sonship? By his obedience to his Father. And that is the way any son will manifest their sonship. It is not going out there and doing supernatural feats. It is, that's to the Jews. The manifestation of the Son of God is when we come into full obedience to the Word of God, who is our Father. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man yet seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, and we know the word of God searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things shall work together for the good to them that love God. Is all things working together for you losing your kids? And you going in a rapture and your kids staying back for a tribulation? I don't think so. If God has come down to save his kids, don't you think that he's going to save yours as well? I'm not saying God has grandkids, but I'm saying what is precious to you is precious to him, because you and the Word have become one. When you were yet in your sin and unbelief, he loved you and made a way for you to come into this truth. Don't you think he can do the same for your children? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn in a large family of brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Brother Branham said, from God, God does not change his mind, or does God change his mind? He said, God never changes his mind or his word, but he will give you the desire of your heart. He promised that, and you know that? He promised to give you the desire of your heart, and let your desire be the word of God. Let your desire be his will, never your own will, his will. And if you ask him for something, he don't give it to you, say, thank you, Lord, you know what's good. Now, we read in the book of Psalms, we read in the book of Psalms 84 and 11, the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. Now look, if we can just come to the place where we put God first in all of our thoughts, you'll never lack for anything. That is what Jesus prayed, that he would be one and he and the Father were one. And he said it comes by the same word that the Father gave him and that he has given us, the same word. And look, if the word of God is the power of God, and God has given you the full word in this hour, then he has given you the full power and the full authority as well. Then say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, and it will happen. Brother Branham himself, in Hear Ye Him, 1960, he said, I believe that there's coming the power of God into the church, creative power, to say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt. And it's coming. He said, it hasn't come yet, but it will come. And then he said, it'll be a short work, and it'll shut the mouth of the scoffers. And then he said, he'll take us home. Now, from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Brown said, now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah here. Here is a secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord. He didn't say they say, thus saith the Lord. He said they have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill, as he did not complete it in his day. All things when he was here. He did not complete all when he was here, for it was not yet time. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father, and we know to have the mind, we must have his Spirit. And we know that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. So it's already a done deal. I've shown you many times in 1 Peter 1 and 13 and 1 Corinthians 1 and 4 to 10 that God has given us a spirit of grace in this hour to have the mind of Christ. And he said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So it is possible for you to have God's thoughts within your very mind. And that is what Brother Branham was talking about in that last quote we read from the Spoken Word's original seed. Now notice he begins quoting John 5:19, where Jesus said, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Again, let me read to you where Brother Brass said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Now, I got a great big hallelujah. Now, notice, he calls that harmony between God and Christ. Harmony between the Father and his Son. Harmony is between two persons. It is oneness between two persons. And that is what Jesus says in John 17. He says, now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as, or in the same way, that you and I are one. And how is it that we might be one? Even as, which means in the same manner that Jesus and the Father were one. In verse 14 he says, I have given them thy word. And the world hates them because of it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. In John 17:20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, the values, the judgments which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. 16:26, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say unto you that I pray the Father for you. And 14:20, at that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now from Christ in the mystery of God revealed, Brother Rand said, now notice, God making himself known. We're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by a government, but by the revelation of Christ in you as God was in Christ. As God was in Christ, Christ in you. What God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God in Christ? Christ does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, my. I like that. Jesus said, at that day, that's this day, at that day, when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me, when the revelation is made manifest. And at that day, you shall know that I and the Father are one. I am in the Father is in me. Then, when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you and you in me. There you are. See the manifold threefold. What for? To bring it back. And we've got to be. From hearing him, he said, the mind of Christ is to be in the church. And the mind of God was in Christ. And how that the Spirit led Christ, so ought his Spirit to lead the church. And all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ was, he poured into the church. So the church has the power that Christ had. Christ had the power that God had. He said, at that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. You'll find out that God dwells in his church and his people. And from hearing him, he said, take him out in a certain place, having a ceremony before angels, and placed him positionally what he was in the body of Christ. Then that person has the authority. Let me say this. If you count me a fanatic from this night on, that very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done. There'll be a power put into the church, and now is coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it will create itself. Right here. We haven't seen powers like that coming into the church now. I know it for fact. But say unto this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said shall come to pass, and you can have what you said. The placing of the church in position, where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church, then critics' mouths will be shut. And it'll be a short time. You know what's going to be too late for them? Jesus come right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice it won't last long, but it'll be here. That's exactly what Brother Vail preached from in 1972. Therefore, it is very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word which brings us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, past tense, that they may be one, even as you and I are one. And remember, this glory, as I said, is God's opinion, his values, and his judgment, which is his very mind or his way of thinking. And in 1 Corinthians, we are told that no man can know the mind of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. So we have the assurance that by one Spirit we have been baptized into one body. So we see that Jesus and God were one because Jesus received God's word, and Jesus said himself that because we have received the same word which the Father gave to him, that it would make us one with the Father as he was one with the Father. Now from the Message Harvest Time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something, it never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other, but that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. That, and he was the word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all. That we all might congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Now, after explaining that how God and Christ and the bride will be one, Brother Brown continues, and here is the secret, the word is in the bride and the mind of Christ, to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it. She has to step into that word in order for that word to become manifest. Just like Moses, he couldn't just speak and say, depart. He had to step in, he had to speak the word and then step into the Red Sea for the Red Sea to depart. Joshua had to do the same thing. The Bible says Joshua walked out into the water, then the waters parted. Hallelujah. Elijah did it. He walked out in that water. He had to be out in that water to slap that water. He walked in that water, slapped that water with that thing. It opened up. And Elisha does exactly the same thing. He had to step into it. Then Joshua, before they came and destroyed the great city there, he had to step in the water. When he did, the waters parted. So God parting those waters five times in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So the bride not only has his word, she knows what to do with it. What? There's a pattern set. That means that she has to have his mind, which he says she does, because if she does not have his mind, then how is she going to know what to do with his word? And that is what he said, the word is in the bride and the mind of Christ. So not only does she have his word, but she also has his mind to know what to do with that word. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. Then he continues, she has thus saith the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that she goes around saying thus saith the Lord, but he says she has it. In other words, she has received thus saith the Lord, and she holds on to it. In other words, she has what the Lord has already said thus, and that is no different than what Jesus said in John 17:14. He says, I have given them thy word, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that thou mayest be one, even as we are one. In other words, what I got from you, Father, I'm giving up. And the bride says, and he says, the bride has us, saith the Lord. She has what he has already given to her, and she steps into it, and she uses it. Then Brother Branham said, then it is a germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they'll keep still. Then they will do the works of God. Now, if you don't believe that we're going to do the works of God, which is John 14:12, you're lost. You're just lost. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill, as he did complete in that day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. If you don't even have faith for healing, how are you going to have faith, brother, sister, to have a body change? From the token. I believe Jesus is here. Now, hold your token right over that desire. Now, let me tell you by his word, and he cannot go contrary to his word. He has already purchased your desire if it's according to his will. And his will is to heal. His will is to give you your desire. He will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly before him, presenting that token. Well, what if your scripture, we know his will is his word, right? What if your desire is for your children to be with you on the other side? To be with you. We have the word for it. We have, he said, all their offspring with him. Right? And he will withhold no good thing from them that ask him. From spiritual inspiration, Brother Branham said, the Lord has given us his promise. Ask the Father anything in my name and I'll do it. Yeah, that's our promise. If it isn't our faith in our prayer, it's just our faith in doing what he said to do. Ask the Father in my name. You shall have it. It'll be given. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, you shall have. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Just makes us feel wonderful to think that our kind Heavenly Father, in his kindness, has given us this privilege of having what we would want or desire, as long as it's in his will, of course. And we know when it is his will. If it's according to his will, then we know it's his will. The promise to Rahab, the harlot, she wasn't living like Christ. She wasn't even expressing, but she had a promise. And he said, get your family, all your family, into this house under this token, and they'll be saved. God kept his word. He said to the Ethiopian jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy family shall be saved. Not that your believing saves them, but you're taking the same faith you had for yourself and applying it for them. Lord, I believe for my salvation. I see it manifest. I'm praying now for my son, my daughter. I'm praying that you'll manifest it also in them. And we're talking about the token here this morning, and it must be applied. And to apply it shows your identification with it, and the token is the presence of God in our midst. Now look, we take too lightly what God has said for us in this hour. He himself has come down to make the way open for us to enter back into eternal fellowship with him. And he has made a way for you to have your children with you forever as well. From his sermon called Fellowship, Brother Branham said, now God began to restore back to Job. He restored his stock, his animals, his livestock, and everything doubled. He did, and did you notice about his children? God restored back Job's children. Didn't say he doubled them, but he restored them to him. Now, what does restoration mean? Bring back the same. It doesn't mean, you know, if I bring in a little beautiful gold figurine to a pawn shop, and I want to go get it back, I want to purchase it back or get it back, redeem it back, he doesn't give me a one made out of paper. Doesn't give me a different one. He gives me the same one I brought him. You see? Now, did you ever thought and read that in the book? They were in glory waiting for him. Let me read that again. But did you notice about his children? God restored back Job's children. Well, to restore them back, they had to have left. They had to be taken. He didn't say he doubled them. He restored them to him. Wonder where they were at? Did you ever take a thought of that and read that in the book of Job? They were in glory waiting for him because he had offered a sacrifice. Now listen to this. Because he, not them, they didn't offer a sacrifice. They were out partying. He had offered a sacrifice under the shed blood, and he knew where they were waiting for him at, under the shed blood. Now, he never said he'd give him back another bunch of children, but he restored Job's children to him because they were waiting for him under the shed blood of the sacrifice. I'd like to add the sacrifice that Job, the daddy himself, had offered to God. It wasn't the sacrifice the children had offered. It was their father who offered that sacrifice, and God accepted it. And God gave him back his children that he had lost. The kids weren't out offering sacrifices. They weren't out applying the token for themselves. The daddy was applying the token for the whole family. You got any children you've lost? Apply the token like Job did, and God is obligated to do for you what he did for Job. Or he would be a respecter of persons, and he would not be the same yesterday, today, and forever. From thy house, Brother Brown said, now, I know that we all think our kids is renegades and things like that, but we must stop that. You hear that? Quit focusing on their sin and focus on their sonship. You hear me? I believe that we must remember that these kids are the best kids in the world because they're our children and we claim them for God. Now, your salvation will not save that child. But now, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house shall be saved. Now, what did he mean by that? He didn't mean that because they were saved that their house would be saved with it. He meant this, that if he had enough faith to be saved himself, his same amount of faith that he had for himself would work for his children. See what I mean? Not that they've got to get that same faith that you've got, but that you've got to apply the same faith you have for them. Last week, 2 weeks ago, on the 8th, last week, in the Branham Tabernacle, a man died. He didn't have faith to be raised from the dead. Someone else applied that faith for him. And that man was raised from the dead. You understand? Let's not be dilatory as dads. Let's apply the token. And the same faith God gave us for ourselves, you apply that for your children. And every day, if you've got to be crucified every day, I am crucified. Nevertheless, I'm living. It's not I that's living, but Christ living in me. Then every day you apply that token. Job did it. The Bible says without ceasing, every single day he applied that token for his kids. And God honored that. That diligence. Don't just say, well, I did it 20 years ago. I believe God for my family. Somebody. He did it every day. He applied that blood every day. It's a promise that we have from God. It's knocking on the door like the woman at the unjust judge. The unjust judge says, okay, you've knocked enough. I believe you're sincere. I'm going to open that door and make it. That means the faith he applied for himself, he can apply that same faith for his children, and if it worked for you, it will work. It will also work to bring them in and save them. And let me read you from the promise from Isaiah. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. And they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring will be with them. And it shall come to pass that before I call, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Let's also read Acts 2 and 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children. The promise of what? The token. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Again, from the message, Thy House, Brother Brown said, Job said, when he's seen everything that was just in good order, like your homes are now, he said, you know, my children is married and gone off. Now listen, it's beautiful. Because too many of you think, well, as long as they're in my house, in my physical house, I can apply the token. Job said, you know, my children is married and they've gone off. I said, maybe peradventure one of them might have sinned. Now, there's one requirement God had. That was a burnt offering. He said, now, I don't. And he didn't believe his children sinned, but said peradventure they might sin. Because they're visiting one another and going to parties at one another's homes and so forth and mixing it up. And again, and so forth. And he said, if one of them has sinned, so Lord, I will bring a burnt offering and offer this burnt offering for my child. Not for me, for my child. I'm already in. I don't know about them yet. But I'm offering it for them. See? And that's all he knew to do. That's all God required. A burnt offering. That's all he required. Well, then when the great midnight hour come and struck, poor old Job was in the condition that he was, you know. He'd lost all of his cattle, all of his sheep, and the storms come and killed his children, and fire burnt up his servants, and his own health failed, and set in the backyard on an ash heap, and his own body broken up with boils, till he took a piece of crock and scraped his own boils, and even his wife got discouraged with him. And Brother Brown says again, God restored back to Job what? He restored back to him his, when he had 10,000 cattle, he got him 20,000 cattle. Where he had 40,000 sheep, he'd give him 80,000 sheep, see? And he restored everything back to him that he ever had. And you notice he said, and he restored his seven children. See? He gave Job his seven children. Not, didn't give him seven other children, but he gave Job his seven children. Now, what is it? His house, thy and thy house. Because he was righteous, because he was standing on everything that God gave us to be righteous or gave him, was to offer that burnt offering, and he knew that that was God's word, and it could not fail. So, did you ever think where the children was? They was in heaven waiting for him, see? He's with them today. Amen. And God saved Job, children, and they were in heaven waiting for him. Listen, when Brother Brown came back from beyond the curtain of time, he told a couple brothers, he told Brother Hickerson. Brother Hickerson, standing right there in flesh, he said, Brother Hick, I saw you over there. God has already got his promise waiting for us. You hear that, Betty? You believe that with all your heart. Every day you apply that token. Thy and thy house. You hear that, Steve? Every day. Thy and thy took thy house. You hear that? It's yours if you want it. It isn't that coming from a heart of love to God yonder. Oh, if that isn't coming from a heart of love to God yonder, it'll never go nowhere. All you'll do is join church and be baptized, but when you're converted to Christ, a love to Christ, then you accumulate a faith in Christ like you would to your wife or to your husband. You accumulate a faith that you will walk in that faith. I don't know, something about you, you just got something that anchors you there, you see. Well, that's the same way it is about Christ, and what Christ says, you believe it. And you just stay right there with it. That's the way it's just raised up, and you right up above it. And God brings it to pass and fulfills his promise. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thy and thy thou and thy house shall be saved. Again, from a message called Thy House, he said, but you understand what I mean now to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house shall be saved. Believe for yourself and believe for your house and you shall have it. You say, well, the doctor said I can't get well. Well, if thou can believe on the Lord, you can get well. Well, I'm out of work, but if you'll believe on the Lord, see, you shall have work. And I don't know what to do about this situation. Believe on the Lord. You see, when you're looking at the circumstances, you're not looking at God's word. From Acts 16:25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoner heard him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had all fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Hallelujah. Now, these are not my words, brother, sister. I've been reading you nothing but what the prophet said and what God's word says. This is a beautiful, this is the most important thing for me, is to get to the other side intact, with my family intact, to spend eternity with my daughters, my son-in-law, my little Ella, little William and whoever else the Lord would bring into the family. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the token for the promise. The token is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. From the token again, Brother Bram said, 1 chapter 71. But the true token of the blood speaking out speaks of a living resurrected presence. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. Living right among us. Amen. See, it speaks better. Not from dead forms and creeds, but a living token of a living Christ that lives in us. No, they deny there is such a thing, but we know it's true. But we who believe the word know that God promised it, and he keeps his promise. Know it is his living presence, for he does as he did. In Acts 11:11, and behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent to Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me and entered into the man's house, and he showed us how that he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now, how many scriptures do I need to give you? How many quotes do I need to give you? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and as on us in the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them like gift, as he did unto us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto us. The problem is, Brother Brown said, we are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to Ten Commandments. We're getting them to a bunch of rules. We're getting them to, like the Jewish man, the Jewish rabbi said, 613 things you need to do. We're getting to a bunch of dogma, a bunch of doctrine, a bunch of creeds. We're not getting them to Christ. We're not getting them to the love of Christ, which is shed abroad in our hearts. We're not getting them to the promises of eternal life together. Living together without aging, without illness, without hurt in your soul. The whole world is hurting. Brother, sister, you have an opportunity to apply that token for your family. Now, he didn't say the next door neighbor's family, but he did say for your house. Again from the token, paragraph 113. Notice, they were not just yet come together to talk about the message. They come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. That's what they must do. Pastor Neville, and to this congregation, trustees, deacons, and to you, brethren, it's time that we laid aside all foolishness of the world, time we laid aside everything else. We've seen enough now that we're positive sure, and the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. How to do it? By one Spirit. We're all baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe that with all your heart? See, he was not responsible for any out from beneath it. Again from the token, paragraph 9. That's what he was requiring that night to separate the believers from the unbelievers. The believer worshiper was identified with his sacrifice. He must apply the blood. It wasn't take and kill the lamb, set the blood out there somewhere, or keep it in a charger, take it down to the neighbor. He had to apply the blood. That's the way it is tonight. We could come and sympathize with everything God does, but that isn't what he requires. You've got to apply it. It's not sufficient until you apply it. The blood must be applied. That shows that you are identified. The worshiper laid his hand upon the lamb and then killed it, identified himself with the sacrifice. In other words, you have got to apply it first. And when that life being lived in you is his life, now you take that and you offer that back to God. As I said, Brother, you know, when Brother Morris Ungren's wife was in that boat and the rains and stuff were coming and she thought we might perish, she knew one thing she had done for God. She had grown her hair up. She held her hair up and said, God, see, I've been obedient. And God stopped that storm. from desperation, the token, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is among us. We should reverence that. We can't humble ourselves enough, taking off your shoes or getting... Listen, let me just say this. Rahab only did one thing. She showed kind hospitality toward the servants of God. And God spared her and her family. Hallelujah. Just get into it, brother, sister. Apply that token in your life. And brothers, as heads of your home, apply that token. Live it. Believe it. Walk in it. Speak like he speaks. Act like he acts. Do the works that he did. And God will honor your request. God will never honor the request of someone who's a hypocrite. God will never honor the request. The Bible says he will not answer the prayer of he that regards iniquity in his heart. And iniquity is you know to do right and you just don't do it. But if you die to yourself, you're not going to regard iniquity. You're going to say, whatever it does, Lord, whatever it takes. If you slay me, slay me. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be like you. He'll hear that prayer. We can't humble ourselves enough. Taking off our shoes or getting on our knees wouldn't expel it. It wouldn't satisfy. It wouldn't suffice us. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The wife makes a mistake, love her anyway. Huh? Now remember this morning, preparation sent the messenger with the message. Next thing he done after he sent the messenger with the message, he set the pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing was after that was consolation. See? You knew that it was right. You was at peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in closing, if we believe that we have just heard Brother Branham tell us the token is Christ himself, his presence is here with us, bringing the word into reality, and if Christ is the token, then we must understand what it means to apply that understanding in our life. Therefore, in the next few quotes, I want to share with you how the token is to be applied and what our part is in applying the token. Now, before we apply this token, we must ask ourselves, what is it supposed to do for us? And Brother Branham answers that in his sermon, Desperation. Now, there's just not, no certain evidence. See, you say, well, Brother Branham, I feel it in your mind. See, you see why I know it? Look, where were you and what are you? Or, excuse me, what were you and what are you? In other words, has there been a change in your life? There's how you know. You see, what was you before this token was applied and what are you after it's applied? What was your desires before and what is your desires after? Then you know whether the token has been applied or not. And these other things will just automatically go with it, see. And in the next quote, we see how the token is to be applied. And if the token is the very presence of Christ himself, then how should we apply that in our homes? And he answers this in question in called the token, the same token we're studying from. He says, believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house and apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply? What do you do when you apply the token to your house? Move all the trash out. Get all the short skirts and the shorts and the cards and the cigarettes and the televisions and what more and kick them out the door. You've got to apply the token. Won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dances and parties and rock and roll and old vulgar newspapers and stuff that's the world's that the world kick it out the door. Say, we're cleaning out this place around here. Now, if you truly believe that the presence of God was coming to visit your home, you would get rid of everything that you knew was offensive to him. You would burn it and throw it up. You would do a real good house cleaning to make sure that your house reflected what you truly believe, that the judge of all the earth was coming to visit your home. And that is why I like to have a picture in each room of my house with a reminder of why I'm here in this world, and what God is doing in this hour. Right. Not to have a religious relic, but a reminder what it's all about. When I go into the living room, I want to see Christ. I want to see what it's all about. When I go into the kitchen, I want to see. When I go into the family room, when I go up the stairs to go to bed at night, right there at the top of my stairs, I see Christ praying in Gethsemane. I want to see it in every room. I gave my children one for their bedrooms, so that they can look up in their bedrooms and see the Hoffman's head of Christ. I want a reminder, a constant reminder, what it's all about. I'm in the message of the token, Brother Brown said. Apply it. And how do you apply it? Create that atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it, see? Oh, if you've got the token, you create a spirit around you of power. That when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word, what you say, and they hold on to it. See, that is it. Apply the token, then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it. This is the evening time. Now, you've been listening a long time. Now, this is the evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See, apply the token with confidence. I'll never forget. at the funeral of my mother-in-law, she was a godly woman. And like any human being, she had her things that she did, that, you know, but she was a godly woman. She had more people at her funeral than most of the preachers I went to had at theirs. And these were people because they all knew what she stood for. But when they came to her house, if they had pants on, she never scolded them for wearing their pants. But they saw her in her dresses. If they came to her house with their hair cut, she didn't scold them about their hair, but they saw her living that example. That's what he's talking about here. Don't go around trying to chastise the world with an angry Christian spirit, because that's what Christianity is known for today. That's why so many people are against it. It's an angry Christian, angry, angry, angry. It's the love of God that can look at a person just like you would with a child. Is a child wearing diapers? Do you look at the child and say, oh, that child by now should be wearing, you know, regular clothing? No, you don't. You put your arms open, you love that child, you cling to that child. Your child starts to learn how to walk, he falls down, you go over and smack him on the backside and say, stupid kid, you should be walking by now. No. You take their hand and you walk with them. That's the attitude that we should have toward everyone. Reach out, I'll help you. You're a poor man, you need some food. I'll buy you some food. I won't give you the money because I don't know if you'll buy wine with it, but I'll buy you some food. I'll reach out, I'll help. I'll do whatever I can. And they'll see Christ in you. And perhaps, on the other side, you'll see that person makes it. Because Brother Brown said, he said that the way that you treat people, the way that you act toward a person, could determine their eternal destination. They will do something for the elect. And Jesus promised, even a cold cup of water given in my name will never be forgotten in this world or the world to come. Hallelujah. From his sermon, the token, 134, he said, yes, clean out the house, the cover, clean out the house. Oh, we have a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Let the blood be applied, then the token will come in. Clean it out, sanctify it, then apply the token in prayer with confidence when you clean yourself up. You've got away from the things of the world. You've dumped all the unbelief out. I don't care what people says. If the word of God says it and promised it, I believe it. If the word says it, that settles it. I don't care what anybody else says, see? Then when you've got all that done, you've applied the blood, and you believe every word, then take the token in prayer and be fully convinced. And again from 138, he said, associations and ministers have let the people do anything and get by with it and just put their name on the book and call them this, that, and the other when it's a disgrace. And it's got so that faith is something that's not even, don't even, very seldom even known what even it is. They got a hope, but no faith. You've got to get back to everything combed out and clean. Then take your token that you know that it's Jesus Christ in you. Then apply it. If something don't happen, there's something wrong. Go back again. Got the wrong thing in your hand. He promised it. He was the one who promised it. Apply it. And finally, closing, I'd just like to read one last quote from Brother Graham's sermon called The Presence of God Unrecognized. He said, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. If he is present, then why, everything is settled. He made the word, and he is here to confirm it. He proves that he'll confirm it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that not only are you here, you who gave the word, who created the earth and the, all the universes by your single spoken word. And you gave that word and that wonderful promise of the token. You are here to confirm it, to bring into actualization the word promise that was given to us. May we hold that dear to our heart and apply it every single day. When we stand before you or kneel before you and we pray and say, Father, help me to crucify Brian. Help me to allow the life of your son Jesus to live my life today. And Father, at the same time, may your life that's in me, I'm applying, I'm holding on, just like that sister held her hair, I'm holding that life before you, Father, in confidence, in parhesia, asking you to save my family. In Jesus Christ we pray. Name we pray. Amen. We want to see Jesus to reach out and